We have been thinking about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know of this year, this season of the year, we think of the Passover, normally referred to as Easter. And it is at the Passover time that the Passover lamb was offered. And Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. And so Jesus Christ is our Paschal Lamb. He is our Passover Lamb. And He died for our sins. Not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. So the sin question has been dealt with in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And anyone who desires can appropriate and receive the blessing and the benefit of what He did on Calvary. When He died for our sins, He made it possible for us to be born into His family, to become one of His children. And it's easily done. There's one place in the Bible, it's in Acts chapter 16, it's the only place in the Bible where saved is in the question and saved is in the answer. When the Philippian jailer, who was not ready to die and knew that he would if any of the prisoners had escaped under Roman law, he would have been executed. In fact, he would have been crucified himself. And so he came trembling unto Paul and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul told him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved." Only place in the Bible that comes. Those two are right together, and there is no question about how salvation comes to pass. But not only did the Lord Jesus Christ die on the cross that we might be born into His family, but He was also raised from the dead for a specific purpose. We find that in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, where it says, "Who was delivered for our offenses," that is, on the cross, "and He was raised again for our justification." Justification has to do with not being charged or chargeable. When a man goes to court, having supposedly broken some law, he has been charged with an offense. And he hires an attorney to convince the jurors that he is not to be charged with this offense. And Jesus Christ is our attorney in the heavenlies, interceding on our behalf before the Father, that we might stand approved in His presence. In without the resurrection, there would be no justification. Without the resurrection, faith would be vain. In 1 Corinthians 15:14, it says, "If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." So the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead made faith operative. Now, what does it mean to have for faith to be operative or effective? It means that we can please God. Hebrews 11:6 tells us plainly, "Without faith it is impossible to please Him." So the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead made it possible for us to please God, to behave ourselves in a manner that would honor Him and glorify Him. And so it is significant that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and that we could stand in His presence and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." There's a popular teaching today, and I was made aware of it from by some email that came from Adam about having Christ's righteousness imputed unto us. And I'm going to just read this little paragraph that I put in here, which is a popular teaching today, and it is of John Calvin, is that the moment we believe on Jesus Christ, we are justified. Being justified means we become as impeccable as Jesus Christ in standing and position, though we live in a sinful state and in an unrighteous condition. In other words, you live in sin. When God looks at you through Jesus Christ, all He sees is the righteousness of Christ. They teach that the noun is equivalent to the verb believe. And, of course, I believe this is a grievous error. God is not looking at us as impeccable as Jesus Christ is impeccable. We are still sinners, and we need cleansing and forgiveness. Justification is not an event. In Romans chapter 8, verse 32 and 30 through 34, it says, He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, and He delivered Him for our offenses. We just got through reading in Romans 4:25. Verse 33 says, Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. The emphasis here on the word justifieth is that this word is a participle. And it is a present active participle. The present tense means that the justification is an ongoing process. It's not an event. It's something that continues. And Jesus Christ is the one who provides that justification. Verse 34, Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. And why was he raised from the dead? That we might be justified. That we might be able to please him. That we might stand in his presence approved. Rather than being charged. Let me say this. When you stand before the court of heaven, you're not going to have an attorney to be able to convince God that you didn't do that. God knows your sin. And no amount of mumbo jumbo that a slick attorney can muster is going to get you off. And so that you're either going to be chargeable or you won't be chargeable. What does it mean to be chargeable? Well, I've included some verses that you don't have in your outline, but they're familiar to you, so I'm going to just read them to you. It's in Matthew 7:21 through 23. Not every one of me that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. So what do we need to be doing? The will of the Father. And if you don't know the will of the Father is, then you need to be finding out what it is that the Father wants you and I to do. And that's the significance of Bible study, is learning what the will of the Father is so that we can do it. Many were saying to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out demons? And in thy name done many wonderful works? In other words, there are going to be people that are going to be saying, hey, we've done all the sign gifts. We can heal. We can speak in tongues. Not many people are raising the dead today, but anyway, there are plenty of people that think that they are impressing God with their ability to perform sign gifts. What's going to happen? Well, they said, in thy name we have done many wonderful works, and then that's when the Lord will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me that work iniquity. This is not a statement of the fact that he doesn't know who they are. Obviously, he does know who they are because he says, you're workers of iniquity. You haven't been doing the will of the Father. There was a time when it was significant to perform the sign gifts, speaking, prophesying, speaking in tongues, casting out demons, so forth. But there came a time when those things were set aside. They were put away, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13. And so these people were denying God's will for their life, and by forcing these situations upon people. And the Lord says they were chargeable. They were workers of lawlessness. Matthew 22, verse 11 and 12. And when the king came in to see the guests that were bidden to the wedding, he saw there a man that had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Here's a man that was chargeable. He was not prepared to come to the wedding feast. And they had to bind him hand and foot and put him into in a place he didn't want to go. So there are consequences of being chargeable. But how can we be cleansed? Well, 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You don't want to stand in His presence to be chargeable? You need to spend time daily in His Word. You need to spend time having fellowship with the Lord. And the only way that I know of you can have fellowship with the Lord today is by reading the Bible and in prayer. That's how you do it. And then it says if we will read the Scriptures, have fellowship with Him, we can be rest assured that our sins will be cleansed. He continues in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. There are people today that believe that they are impeccable, just like Jesus Christ is impeccable. And the Word says, the truth is not in you if you talk that way. We are sinners. And we need cleansing from sin. And if you feel like that you're just as impeccable as Jesus Christ, as far as your standing is concerned, then confession of sin is a waste of time. But that's not the case. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If God's righteousness has been imputed unto us, then how can we confess something that He doesn't even know we've done? Because He sees us as impeccable as Jesus Christ. That's the error. That's the confusion. And so therefore, the devil would like it to have us where we don't take time to confess our sins so that we can stay in bondage to our sins. And He is in charge. Now, justification is a continuing process. Acts chapter 13, verse 39 says, but by Him, that is, by our resurrected high priest, all that believe, present tense, this believing is not an event. This is an ongoing thing of believing, confidence in Him, are justified. This is also in the present tense. Continually presenting you approved. When we sin, we confess sin, we're restored in fellowship, we are again justified in His presence. It's an ongoing thing. From all things, and from which we could not be justified by the law of Moses. Under the law of Moses, faith was not operative because Jesus Christ hadn't been raised from the dead. And so the law of Moses did not provide us with the blessings that living by faith will provide us when we stand in the presence of our Lord. Now notice that the word believe is in the present tense. And if we stop believing, the process of justification also stops. In Luke chapter 8, verse 13, I included this verse so that you can see for yourself that believe in the present tense can be stopped. When they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, fall away. They believed in the present tense for a while, and then they quit. We can do that. To sit in a chair is in the present tense. Sitting in a chair is in the present tense. When you stand up, is the present tense of sit stop? Absolutely, you're no longer sitting. Same thing with believe. Believe in the present tense. As soon as you stop believing, you stop the process of justification. In Romans chapter 3, verse 22, it says, even the righteousness of God which is by faith, that is, by pleasing God, because it's through faith that we please God. And we're going to have the righteousness of God by pleasing Him. And it's by the faith of Jesus Christ. Actually, it's the faith from Jesus Christ. I am not living by somebody else's faith. You don't live by my faith. We don't live by Christ's faith. He provides us with faith because it comes through the ministry, His ministry, through the Holy Spirit of the Word of God. And it's by faith of Christ, or from Christ, or Jesus Christ, unto all them, unto all and upon all them that believe in the present tense. It's essential for us to continue to be faithful. What we're talking about believing in the present tense has to do with faithfulness. A lot of God's kids today are not faithful to Him. They're here one day and gone the next. No consistency. No pursuing God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And a lot of us have experienced that in our life. There were times when we were pursuing God, seeking God, desiring fellowship with Him, and then sin creeps in, and then the next thing you know, we are not looking or desiring fellowship with God. So God has made a way for us to come back, and we've already talked about it in 1 John 1:9. So we can believe in the present tense, and then we can also stop it. And we can also, faith is the same way. We'll talk about that in just a little bit, because Paul has told us to continue in the faith, because faith is not an event, it's a lifestyle. Okay? Now, Romans chapter 3, verse 26 says that Christ is the justifier. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, in that He might be just. That's not a very good thing. That's not a very good way to put that. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ is just. He's not might be just. He is just. And there's no subjunctive there. It's actually an infinitive. To be just, and it's in the present tense. And He is the justifier, present active, of him that believeth, in the present tense. Is it important for us to be faithful to the Lord? Absolutely. If you're unfaithful to God, you're going to be chargeable. And we don't want to be chargeable. To be chargeable before God means that you're guilty. You're guilty, and there's no way to get out of it. You can't beat the rap, as some people would put it. You're not going to beat it. Because God knows what you've done. In John chapter 3, verse 18, it's interesting about those that are believing in the present tense and those that are not believing in the present tense. He that believeth, present active participle, faith, etc., on him is not condemned or is not being judged. No, he's not going to be charged. It's in the present passive. But he that believeth not is condemned already. If you're not believing, if you're not faithful to the Lord, you are judged, unfaithful. Now you can repent. We all can repent. And that's what God encourages us to do, is to change our way of living. Turn back. Come back to Him. Jesus Christ has made it possible for us to do that. But if you have quit believing, if you have quit being faithful, you're judged. You're already going to be, you're just waiting sentence of being unfaithful. He continues, judged already because he had not believed. In other words, and that's in the perfect tense, happened in the past, it's not continuing in the present. In other words, actually not believing started in the past, and not believing continues to the present. That's the perfect tense. In the name of the only begotten Son of God. He wasn't believing in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It has to do with the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. That's what the name of the Son of God deals with. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God. So, he continues with this thought of justification by faith in Romans chapter 3, verse 27 and 8. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, by the law of faith, that is, the law of pleasing God. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith, that is, pleasing God. And of course it says the word without here, the deeds of the law. And I personally believe that this is the moral law and not the ceremonial law. The ceremonial law of Moses was nailed to a tree when Jesus Christ was crucified. We don't have to go to the temple three times a year. The animal sacrifices have been done away with because of our lamb being slain. But the word without is an interesting word. You find that word in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. The word beside there carries the meaning in addition to. In addition to those things that are without, that cometh upon me daily. Well, what were the things that were coming upon him? Persecution. Trouble. Paul was always in trouble. He was either in jail or he was out taking a swim in the ocean. not a leisure swim. Shipwrecks, beatings. The word beside carries with it the thought of, in addition to persecutions, I've got the cares of the churches on top of me. In Matthew chapter 14, 21, we see again this word used. And it says, and they that had eaten, were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Now, what this is not saying that 5,000 men were standing next to the women and children. That's not the word beside there. This is the word that says, including the women and children. 5,000 men, including women and children. So the word, when we read in Romans chapter 3, verse 28, it says, we're justified by faith with the deeds of the moral law. What is the significance of that? Well, it's the just that live by faith. And if we don't keep the moral law of loving thy neighbor as thyself, and the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, we can't live by faith. Now, Galatians 2:16 tells us that believing does not justify. Let's just read this. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of or from Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith. The word believed here is in the aorist tense. I believe this is a reference to the common salvation. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're brought into the family. After you're in the family, then you learn what the hope of His calling is, and then faith becomes operative in your life, and This is the reason why the word might is included in this verse. That, or in order that, we might be justified by faith. Just being saved does not guarantee that we are going to be justified. That's the reason why the word might is in there. You might not be. And the reason you may not be is because you're not living a life that's pleasing to God. And you're not living a life that's pleasing to God because you're living in sin. If you're living in sin, you cannot live by faith. And so therefore, you can't stand approved in His presence. And so therefore, we need to do the will of the Father, that is, confess our sins. We need to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So, Paul says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, that is, the ceremonial law, or just being good. You got to be good. You got to behave. Can't live in sin and live by faith. But you can't be justified by just being good or being obedient to the commandments. Because if you're not living by faith, you're chargeable. So, the conclusion of this passage of Scripture, it's not by works of the law alone, but by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Not the works of the law alone. It takes faith. Galatians 1:11 or 3:11 says, but no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now who are the just? Well, there's a verse in Luke chapter 1, verse 6 that tells us what it means to be just. They, that is Zacharias and Elizabeth, were both righteous or just before God, walking, present middle, the middle voice means for themselves. They were doing this for themselves. Why? Because they wanted to please God. They were walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They were not being chargeable. And of course, we're not under the ordinances of the Old Testament anymore because of Jesus Christ's death on the cross. Now, so therefore it's not by works alone. Let's look in James chapter 2. In fact, it takes works and faith. James 2 and verse 20. But wilt thou, O man, wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? That is, faith alone without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? That is, an addition to faith. Can't be works alone, can't be faith alone. It's got to be a combination of faith and works. That's what he's talking about here, and that's what he's talking about in Romans chapter 4. He was justified when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar. When Abraham offered Isaac on the altar, how long had Abraham been walking with God? How long had Abraham been saved before he was justified by offering Isaac? Well, Isaac was about 20 years old, and Abraham and Sarah had him when they were about 100 years old. So they had been walking, Abraham and Sarah had been walking with God by faith for at least 70 years, if not more. So his justification, in this sense, came 70 years later. So justification and salvation don't go together. Okay? So he was justified when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar. Seest thou how faith, that is pleasing God, wrought with his works, that is Abraham's works, and by works faith was made complete, perfect. We have faith and we have works. What happens to faith? It's complete. What does it mean to be complete? It means that you're able to please God. By the way, the word faith is an abstract noun. Just like truth. You can't touch it. You can't move it. It's abstract. It has to do with values. It has to do with, like, hope is an abstract noun. And it has to do with the heart and what we believe, and it affects the way we behave. Verse 23, continuing, and the scripture was fulfilled which Abraham believed God, and it, that is justification, verse 21, was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You please God? You and he are going to be friends. And friends enjoy each other's fellowship. Abraham enjoyed God's fellowship. There were times when he didn't. Abraham wasn't in fellowship with the Lord when he was in Egypt. So there are times when Abraham wasn't having fellowship with God. He was lying about his wife and leaving the land. But anyway, verse 24. You see then how by works, that is, in addition to faith, a man is justified. Present passive. This is an ongoing thing. And not by faith only. It's got to be a combination. You got to live it, you got to believe it, and you got to live it. You got to believe it in the present tense, and you got to live it in the present tense. Basically speaking. Likewise, also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? Rahab believed what the messenger said, that she would be spared. And so therefore, she behaved in a manner, in the agreement that they had. I won't tell on you if you'll spare me and my family. And they did. When Israel came in and took Jericho, they spared Rahab and her family. Now, in Acts 14, chapter 22, it tells us that Paul exhorted the souls of the disciples to continue in the faith. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Continue pleasing God. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom. If faith is an event, why do we need to continue in it? It's not an event. It's an ongoing thing. And we need to continue in it. Justification doesn't come by the event of faith. And that's why we're really not saved by faith. We're saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 22 through 23, it says, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Now, how is he going to do that? How is that going to come to pass? Verse 23. If you continue in the faith. If you don't continue in the faith, you don't continue pleasing God, you're going to be blameable, reprovable, and you're not going to be able to present you clean. But if we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not moved away from the hope, remember, faith provides us with hope, which you have heard, and which we preach to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. In other words, for us to stand unchargeable, we must continue in the faith. Now, there are going to be those who will depart from the faith. They're going to believe what people are teaching today. In 1 Timothy 4:1, he says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. There are going to be some that are going to quit pleasing God. And they're going to start pleasing themselves and doing their thing rather than doing the will of the Father. And they're going to be denied entrance into his kingdom and going to be charged with being lawless. In 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money. For the love of money, they have erred from the faith. In other words, the value of faith and its benefits were diminished by what? The security of having money. Let me tell you, Money, dollars have wings. I still don't have the first dollar that I earned, do you? I spent it a long time ago. Now there's some people that put that dollar up in a frame on the wall, but I assure you that dollar has been replaced with many other dollars that have taken off with wings. But the love of money can cause us to err from the faith, can cause us to quit pleasing God. 2 Timothy 2:18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Some have had their faith overthrown. What does it mean to have an overthrown faith? It doesn't work. Why have faith? It's vain. I've had faith. I had faith that God would heal my cancer, and He hadn't done it. Did you know that that can overthrow your faith? I got kicked out of my house, or I lost my car because I couldn't pay the rent. I couldn't make the payments. And I believed God by faith that this would take place, you know, that God would provide the money. And He didn't do it. Your faith can be overthrown by events in your life. When your expectation of God is beyond what is presented in the Scriptures. He heals all our diseases but the last one. Right? It's the way it works. We're all dying, but there's going to be one that will take us. And we don't know when that is. And so therefore, when we say, God, heal me, and I'm believing by faith that God's going to heal me, and He doesn't heal me, then you say, what's the use of having faith? That's having your faith overthrown. This is where the expression, Abba, Father, comes in. That's the Spirit of His Son. When we say, not our wills, but Thine be done. So, another thing too, if we don't have love for each other, faith isn't going to work. Galatians 5:6 tells us, faith which worketh by love. If we don't love each other and care for each other and minister to each other, you know what? Faith's not going to work. Faith works with love. And another thing too, that faith comes by the Word of God. Faith comes by the preaching and teaching of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And that has to do with entrance into the coming kingdom of our Lord. Now back to Romans chapter 4, justifications and rewards go together. If you stand approved in His presence because you've lived by faith, you're going to be rewarded. You're going to have honor and glory. Where? In His coming kingdom. Not now, but in His coming kingdom. Romans 4, 2 through 5. If Abraham were justified by works alone, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. Abraham was not justified by works alone, but he was justified by works and faith. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, Genesis chapter 15, 6. This was long after he was saved. And it, that is justification, was reckoned unto him for righteousness. God gave him credit for living by faith. God gave him credit so that he could stand approved in His presence. Now to him that worketh, worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace. We're talking about rewards here. And the word worketh here is in the present tense, but it's also in the middle voice. And what the middle voice means, it says, now to him that worketh continuously for himself. That's how you translate the middle voice. For myself. I'm working for me. Is that the way the plan is? No, we're working for whom? We're working for the Lord. We're serving Him. We're not serving self. When we're seeking financial security, we are going to err from the truth. We're going to deviate from the faith and pleasing Him. But let's go on. It says, now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh, present middle for himself, not, in other words, if you're not working for yourself, but believing on him that justifieth, present active, the ungodly, his faith, that is, believing in the present tense, is reckoned or counted for righteousness. Now this is a very complicated verse in a way, but the point I want you to get here is if you stand approved in his presence, you're going to be rewarded for that. And rewards are on the basis of grace, that is, works accomplished for Christ's sake, not for my own greed. So, what do we need to be doing? We need to examine ourselves at whether we be in the faith or not. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. You need to examine yourself. Are you pleasing God or not? What are your priorities, objectives in life? Are they focused on the hope of glory, of ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom? Or is it focused upon earthly security? We need to examine ourselves. We need to prove ourselves. We need to know ourselves. How that Jesus Christ is in you. Not Jesus Christ literally, because Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father in heaven. The Holy Spirit is in us. And so what this is saying, if Christ is in me, that is, do I have the attitude of Christ? And the attitude of Christ is, Abba, Father, not my will, but thine be done. And if we don't have that in us, we're going to be reprobate. And the word reprobate is a Greek word meaning, or could be translated, disapproved. Disapproved means you're chargeable, and so am I. So James tells us, blessed is the man that endureth. Testings, trials. His faith is not overthrown. He continues pleasing God regardless of circumstances or situations in life that are out of his control. And so therefore, the man that endureth testings and trials, when he is approved, he shall receive the crown of life. What does the crown speak of? It speaks of honor. It speaks of wealth. It speaks of power. When? In his coming kingdom. Not now. I'm not looking to be president. I'm looking to be a king or a lord or a principality or a power in the heavenly kingdom of our Lord when He rules and reigns for 1,000 years. And He will be ruling and reigning soon for 1,000 years. And this is what the Lord has promised to them that love Him. And the Lord says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If we'll keep His commandments, we can live by faith. And if we can live by faith, we're going to be pleasing Him and we're going to be approved. Not approval means justification. And not being charged. May the Lord help us to see that it's significant for us to be faithful to Him. Otherwise, we're going to be chargeable in that day. Father, I just pray that You would help us to grasp this truth concerning justification, standing in Your presence approved. We do want to stand there approved. And we will want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we do want to enter into the joy of the Lord. And we just pray, Lord, You'd help us to be faithful over a few things. That one day we can enjoy positions of honor and glory and over great things. So we pray that You'd bless the message to each of our hearts. And help us, Lord, to respond in obedience to Your word. For it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.